keep in mind that local government and municipalities, that's where the paddle meets the water. That it's very important that you continue to support local governments. Now, I'm not speaking for the Municipal League. I'm the immediate past president, by the way. I would also like to say that we have formed the Local Economic and Community Development Partnership in order to work with you and the administration in order to deliver services to our people in a more efficient manner. We do want to emphasize the fact that a school tax and a visitor tax and a gas tax are all ways to do this. We do oppose a sales tax. However, the gas tax at 12% is not onerous in our opinion. As a matter of fact, when it comes to getting the T21 money, the Transportation Equity Act money, we need to be on a par with the rest of the country instead of having the lowest gas tax in the U.S. So if there's any way also that the visitor tax could be shared to the municipalities, we support that as well. So we wish you well in your future endeavors. We're offer our prayers for you too, and we also support full funding of education, and thank you much.
Jack, thank you very much. It's good to hear from you again. Are you coming up this way?
Sure will be.
Good. Stop
Look
in.
Look forward to seeing you. Thanks.
Stop in and see us. Appreciate it. Let's go back to, let's see here. Did I get the off-net sites yet? I think I missed them someplace. Did he hang up? Sorry about that. Didn't wait any longer, huh? Okay, let's go back to Valdez. Is Ebony Blass.
Hello there.
Hello, Ebony. Go ahead and give us your testimony, please.
I'm just going to make my testimony really short and sweet. I'm in full agreement for full funding for education, and that's basically it, sir.
Okay. Very good. I appreciate that, Ebony. I didn't have to turn my clock on. That's good.
That's right.
All right. Very good. Last person that I have in Valdez is Michael Holcomb. Michael, how are you?
Good, Representative Harris. How you doing?
Very good. Go ahead and give us your testimony, sir.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm for full funding for education, but as you know, my passion lies with the adult basic education program.
Right.
And the proposed cuts there. Last year, there's 18 agencies providing our services in the state of Alaska, and last year we served almost 8,800 students with over 291,000 hours of instruction. That comes out to a cost of $7.66 a student. We can't operate on less than that. There's only 54 full-time personnel within our program statewide, and most of our instruction is done with 151 part-time people, also with volunteers and with the Corporation for National Service. And most of our tutors only work 2 to 6 hours per week for only 7 months out of the year. And I just I can't see where cuts in the adult basic education program would really hurt us, John, and I'm very passionate about this. Last year, over 29% of the high school diplomas given in the state of Alaska were the GED ones, and they are recognized by the state as a high school diploma. And I'm going to keep it there short and sweet, John, but, excuse me, Representative Harris, I'm really passionate about the adult basic education program.
Sorry, Michael, I've been caught a lot worse down here than John, so don't worry. Thank you very much. Is there anybody else in Valdez that wishes to testify?
No, sir.
All right, very good. Thank you. Okay, now we'll move along to Nome. Back to Nome, we have Sharon Shirk. Sharon, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you. My name is Sharon Shirk. I'm the program coordinator and instructor for the Office Management and Technologies Program at the Northwest Campus. I've only been in this position since August. Prior to that, I was an itinerant computer teacher for 3 years in Bush, Alaska, moving from one village each semester just to provide basic computer skills to the children in the bush, a much-needed job and a much-needed program. Now I'm doing it in Nome with adults, and I see that we have got to continue to provide services in the technology department for our citizenry. As I read the impact statement, I realized how important it is for all citizens in Alaska to speak up and speak out regarding the funding that is going to be occurring for the university campuses. Currently, as I understand, there are the university is slated for no increase, zero, nada, nothing, programs, nothing. And I really think it should be thought over a little more clearly, and perhaps as you drive through town and you see those bumper stickers that say, if you think education is costly, try ignorance. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Sharon, thank you very much. I appreciate you taking the time to come out this evening. Next, I'd like to go to, and stay in Nome, and go to Philip Pinatak. Philip, are you there?
Yes. Well, thank you for allowing me to testify. My name is Philip Pinatak. I was born, raised here in Nome, and I know it's difficult for you guys to consider trying to decide which budget option would be the best for the state. I come here to represent as a student of Northwest Campus. I see the Northwest Campus as a bright spot for a particular type of individual like me that would not want to indulge in alcohol. The alcohol culture here is pretty strong, but if you're one of those few that decide not to be part of that culture, the Northwest Campus offers a bright spot, and it is good for the health and well-being of Nome to have a campus here for people like us who desire to have a goal for higher education and to do something that doesn't include any alcohol. This is a great environment for a person like me, and so I'm concerned about any budget cuts that would have repercussions in closing such a campus like this that does such a tremendous job in the well-being for the state in providing higher education.
Okay, Philip, thank you very much for your testimony. I appreciate you coming out this evening to Nome and giving us your thoughts. Is there anybody else in Nome that wishes to testify at this point in time? Anybody else in Nome that wants to testify? Anybody else in Valdez that wants to testify?
No.
Anybody else in Ketchikan that wants to testify?
No, sir. We don't have anybody at this time. Thank you.
All right. Very good. Well, we're scheduled to still take testimony till 7:30. Since there isn't anybody else at this point in time, we'll recess until about 7:25 and see whether or not anybody else comes on or not. If they do, we'll take those, and then we'll go into the last ones, which will be Kenai, Dillingham, Seward, and Cordova. So we'll take a short recess here. We're back on the air. We're back on the air for Kenai, Dillingham, Seward, and Cordova. This is the House Finance Committee overview on the operating budget, public testimony. The rules of engagement for those listening, if you're listening in Kenai, Dillingham, Seward, or Cordova, it's 2 minutes. 2 minutes of testimony per person. Keep your comments to the subject matter. And with that, we'll begin in Kenai. Is Kenai on board?
Yes, we are, Mr. Chair.
Good. How's everything in Kenai? We have start with Rose Mary Reeder. Rose, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for taking your time to listen to us here in Kenai.
You betcha.
I am talking tonight in opposition to the education funding cuts and specifically to House Bill 165 concerning community schools. I think community education in our area, actually across the state, is a very viable concern, and we'd like to have you reconsider that. I can speak specifically about the City of Soldotna. I'm the coordinator for the City of Soldotna and the lead coordinator for the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. In Soldotna, we have no rec center, no teen center, no parks and rec department, and really the city doesn't provide any formal activities. We also have no museum and small community library. What we provide to the citizens of Soldotna and really the outlying areas are cultural, academic, and recreational activities. We supplement the regular school functions with some summer school activities, enrichment programs, and we provide a fair amount of equipment and supplies within the school day, which is an interesting way to look at it, because what happens is our gentlemen's basketball, which we charge $4 an evening for, then we take that money and turn around and buy basketballs for the school because they've had their budget cut. We used the money from the state, the Kenai Peninsula Rural District gets $32,000, or got $32,000 last year, and we use that as a program-based money. We use it as matching grant money. We use it when we apply for grants. And we've taken many steps to kind of supplement, because we have gotten cut over the years. We've applied for grants, of course. We've eliminated programs. We've raised fees. And we've really scrutinized our supply budget, our equipment budget, et cetera. We would appreciate your consideration. We have a triangle of community schools on the peninsula, which would be Homer, Stewart, and Soldotna, and we'd like to keep those programs in good working order, and thank you again for listening.
Okay, Rosemary, is that it?
That's it.
Well, you did very well. You came into the 2 minutes and everything.
My husband will appreciate that. Thank you.
Your husband will. Next, I have Dr. Donna Peterson.
Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. I'm superintendent of schools for the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District, and therefore am representing approximately 10,000 students, 43 sites, about 1,200 employees. I want to speak to the issue of some of the governor's proposals, and specifically about local control and the idea that school districts could pick up some of the monies at a local level. As you may or may not know, the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District is funded to the cap locally, and therefore there is no way for us to get more money. And due to the trying to live within the restraints of the budget, we're looking at the cuts of, and we've already delivered pink slips to 56 teachers. We're in the process of delivering 14 custodians and 3 secretaries their pink slips for this spring. As you know, K-12 education is an excellent investment, and as we grow our children to grow the economy in this state, this is not the time to step back from the commitment and the promises for our children and our future. And we're accountable. We will stay accountable. We will deliver a quality product, and we hope you can give us some help in that area.
Donna, thank you very much. I appreciate your testimony, and we certainly share your concern over the issues of education. Next, I have Margaret Gilman. Margaret, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Please give us your testimony, Margaret.
Thank you, and I also want to thank you for the opportunity to speak before you today. I am a member of the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District Board of Education. I'm a former teacher with the district. And right now, my most important contribution to the district is that I have 4 school-age children. And I would like to add to the testimony specifically regarding the governor's proposed budget cuts to education. This is not the time for the state of Alaska to be cutting the education budget. If anything, the state of Alaska needs to be adding to that. Speaking specifically to what Dr. Peterson mentioned, that this is the time to put the value into the children of this state. I mentioned that I was a mother, and I want to leave you this evening with a story of a situation in our school, and I think it tells a little bit about what the population of students is in the state of Alaska. I had the opportunity to go to a science fair, my child's second grade class, in the middle of the workday, and the kids showed their exhibits, and most of the parents were there, and we were all watching, and the kids had a lot of hands-on opportunities. And I looked, and the little girl next to my son was sitting there all by herself, and I said, you know, what are you waiting for? What's the problem? What's going on here? And she said, well, I'm waiting for my daycare lady so I can show her my project. And, of course, everybody around there were the parents. We all sat and listened to her project. And I thought, this is what the people and the decisions need to hear, that there are children who the public school is their opportunity, is their chance to make a difference. So please keep that child in mind when you're thinking about those cuts.
Okay, Margaret, thank you very much. I appreciate you taking the time to come out this evening. And I have one other person at this point in time in Kenai, and that's John Pothast. I'm sure I screwed that name up, but tell me how to say it right.
Pothast, rhymes with modest.
Pothast, okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Go ahead, John.
Okay, thank you for taking the time to listen to me and to listen to us tonight. I appreciate it. I'm the principal of Skyview High School down here in Soldotna. We've got about 600 kids. We're the largest school in the district, and I'm kind of speaking on behalf, I guess, as the principal of my school, but also as the parent of 2 kids coming into our school district. My daughter's going to be in kindergarten next year. And on both ends, I've got some concerns about the governor's proposals for the cuts in education. Specifically with my school, we've got about 40 teachers at the school. The unfortunate reality because of what we're going through is I'm losing four teachers at my school next year. With the four teachers, I'm losing my photo program. I'm losing one of my two foreign languages. I'm losing my entire home ec program. My industrial arts, probably my metals program is going to be gone, and my library is going to be closed half of the school day. And in addition to that, I'm losing one custodian. And I think with where we are in the state and our commitment to education, I think it's a shame that we've got a situation where we're having to close programs down. And the state is asking us to step up our expectations and the expectations on schools as far as the standards and the qualifying exam, and I see taking money away from us right now is being very detrimental to the commitment that the state has made in terms of making sure kids have a quality education in Alaska. And like I said, I've got concerns about my kids and at school, but also the prospect of my own two children coming into this. And I appreciate your time tonight.
Okay, John, thank you very much. And last, I have gathered one other person on board from Kenai, Megan O'Neill. Megan, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Megan, go ahead and give me your testimony.
My name is Megan O'Neill, and I'm a parent. I'm also the PTA president at Mountain View Elementary School. I'm very concerned about the governor's proposal to slash education. He's a strong proponent of resource development in our state, yet he is slashing the number one resource in our state, which is children. We can't afford it. It's a travesty. We say that we support children, but yet in reality, we continue to cut education. The schools are looking at being 1 to 30, 1 to 35. There's a direct relationship between pupil-teacher ratio, and a quality education. I think that if we truly want to invest in our future, then you invest now and you invest in our children. And that should be our number one priority as a state. Thank you.
Megan, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I'm going to go to Seward. In Seward, I have Wayne Young. Wayne, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Can you give us your testimony, please?
You bet.
And try to keep it to 2 minutes if at all possible, sir.
Well, we practice that in Seward on a regular basis.
All right.
Okay. My name is Wayne Young. I'm principal at the Spring Creek High School, which is physically located within the confines of the Spring Creek Correctional Center. This is an alternative program originating within the budget of the Kenai Peninsula School District. And that's why I'm concerned very much about the proposed budget cuts to education in general. We provide services to incarcerated juvenile offenders in grades 9 through 12 across the whole state. And because we're funded through the local school district, any cuts to education ultimately come on to our program as well. And for the record, I'm facing a 50% cut in certificated staff next fall to provide the same level of support to this program that we've been able to provide this year. So I would ask you to keep that in mind. We need all the education money and funding we can to keep our programs going. Thank you.
Okay, Wayne, thank you very much. Next we have Candy Norman.
Yes, sir. I was born in Alaska, as were my four sisters, their children, my children, and three of my grandchildren. My family has owned the same business since 1958. We're business owners, taxpayers, volunteers, and voters. I would like to address my comments to the governor's proposed cuts to the independent living program under the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. Independent living centers help people with disabilities stay in their own homes. They help people with disabilities get jobs and get back to work and be active members of their communities. I know this from personal experience. In 1988, my daughter, at the age of 21, suffered a traumatic brain injury in a car wreck while visiting in Washington. It took the help of Senator Ted Stevens, Curtula, and Randy Phillips to get her back home to Seward. She was in a coma for many months. awakening to the fact that she couldn't walk or talk. Doctors told us to put her in a nursing home and get on with our lives. I tried for 8 years to rescue her from that nursing home. Her intelligence was intact, her motor skills are not, and she wanted out. Finally, in 1995, one of the many agencies I had contacted for help gave my name to Joanna Geisler. After 8 long years of Carla being in the nursing home, the Kenai Peninsula Independent Living Center came into my family's life. They helped walk us through the system, got Carla more independent, they got her an electric wheelchair, they showed us how to make our home accessible, and then they helped us get her out of the nursing home. She now resides happily in her hometown of Seward, in her own home, with a housemate and 24-hour care. Her daughter and family can visit comfortably, knowing she's safe. She's an active member of the community. She belongs to the Legion Club. She plays bingo. She goes to karaoke. In short, she has a life like you and I. I heard Commissioner O'Clery say that the independent living money is money down the drain. I heard him say that if he didn't take the money from independent living, he would have to take it from working people. Shame on him and anyone who listens to him. I am personally offended and outraged at those words and that attitude. My daughter did not choose this path in life. I am asking that the House Finance Committee restore the full $619,000 to independent living centers. They save lives and they save the state in Medicaid dollars. I know that alternative funding options have been presented to some of the members of the House, suggesting other areas of labor's budget could afford this cut. Please consider these options. Thank you.
Andy, thank you very much. Next, I have Chris Harris. Chris, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, proceed ahead with your testimony.
Thank you. Over the last few months, I've been receiving some very disturbing emails from many of my family and friends about certain budget cuts pertaining to independent living centers. Independence is the key word with this program. This program, along with Kenai Peninsula Independent Living Center Director Joanna Geisler, has had a huge influence in the lives of two young adults whom I know very personally. God only knows where these young people would be without the advocacy, determination, willpower, and knowledge of Joanna and the rest of the staff. I have lived in Alaska since 1969, and over the years I have seen one of the richest states in the Union spend our revenues on some outright ridiculous projects, programs, and scenarios. Don't get me wrong, I love my state and my city, and we have been very innovative in keeping our state and its government strong. Many of the people that this organization helps were at one time happy, productive young people. Being at the wrong place at the wrong time could change each and every one of our lives. Imagine, if you will, one of you or one of your loved ones, or even yourself, waking up from a coma, possibly months later, not knowing where you were or where you were going. It happens every day. Now imagine being in this predicament without anyone to speak for your well-being, and what would become of the remainder of your life? The money spent on the very program that could theoretically save your life are the very funds that you are willing to cut and or remove altogether. I feel a little time and research on your part would be very beneficial to all concerned, now and in the future. One suggestion I have heard was to move the program to the Department of Health and Human Services, where they might receive the help and attention that they very much deserve. Having met Joanna personally, I know she does what she does out of pure love and unselfishness. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chris. Appreciate it. Next I have John Agosti. John, are you there?
Yes, I am, Representative Harris. Thank you. My name is John Agosti. I'm manager of the Katukchak Shellfish Hatchery here in Seward, and I would like to speak in defense and thanks for the role of Alaska Science Technology Foundation, and they have funded the hatchery. We're in our third year of a $550,000 grant to help introduce new species of shellfish to Alaska's aquatic farmers, and this program that they've helped further is a bright, economic development program that is really needed in Alaska's coastal communities that are suffering from lumber and fisheries downturns. And the Science and Technology Foundation has invested quite a bit, not just in the Katukchak hatchery, which is Alaska's sole shellfish hatchery that the industry is depending on, but also in several other aquatic farming topics around projects in the state, and they have done their part, and we're doing our part, and we would just like to see their funding preserved and the many great projects that they're furthering for economic development in the state be given a chance to be completed and help develop this promising, this emerging aquatic farming industry in particular. All I have to say tonight. Thank you.
John, thank you for your testimony. I appreciate you coming out tonight. Is there anybody else in Seward?
No one else at this time.
Thank you. Dillingham, is Dillingham on the air?
This is Dillingham.
Yes, Dillingham, good evening. Is Don Ford there, please?
Yes, this is Don Ford.
Don, go ahead with your testimony, please. Thanks for coming out tonight.
Okay, I'd like to say I'm Don Ford from Dillingham. I'm on the school board, and I'm also the father of a daughter of children that are with disabilities, developmental disabilities. I'd like to thank you, the House Finance Subcommittee members who voted to reinstate at least some of the proposed education funding cuts. But I have concerns with, there were a lot of promises made, especially to education, for full funding. And, you know, we're looking at approximately $33 million in proposed educational cuts. And I've heard that they're not directly to the educational, the basic funding formula. I'll just use one of them as an example, and that's a proposed cut to transportation. And many of the cuts affect us in the same manner. And the transportation, in reality, cannot receive direct cuts because the dollars must come from the educational programs. Because how do we cut transportation budgetarily by 20% or 5%? Do we tell one-fifth of the kids they're not riding today? Do we cut one bus route and leave the others? You know, it just can't be cut in the transportation area. It has to come out of our educational program. And there are many other cuts, the law grants, for instance. You know, we've given all these unfunded mandates by the state and NCLB, by the feds, too. And if we can't do remedial education, how are we going to meet these standards? How are we going to have a chance in the near future and meet our annual yearly progress so that we don't even lose more money? You know, so there's short funding at the national level just compounds the problem at the state level. And then, of course, locally, we're in a financial disaster. And they're already within close to the maximum they can contribute anyway, even in a financial disaster situation here locally. Their local contribution is two-thirds the maximum. So we really need for education to come up and meet the intent of the mandates, I mean, which are great, and accountability, and to produce quality students. The bottom line is we need adequate funding, and funding that's inflation-proofed. And then I'll move on real quickly to my situation with my daughter. I won't talk about quality of life, just long-term cost for those with disabilities. Short-term, there may be some additional costs, but if you cut the short-term cost, the long-term cost can be exponential. My daughter is FASD, and, you know, they say, I've heard before that for someone with FASD without any supports, the cost can be, especially for a woman, $6 million plus dollars in a lifetime. And all they need for support is some assisted or supervised living, which is just a fraction of that, to prevent them from going in and out of the correction system, into the welfare system with having children involved in that too. And into the, you know, some of them I know have even gone into mental institutions. extremely expensive and not cost-effective. And we've been providing those services, my wife and I, as a family. And we'll continue to do that as long as we can. Well, what happens when we're gone? We fear she'll be in that same, caught up in those systems that, not to mention her quality of life being non-existent almost, but the cost to the state is tremendous down the road. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Don, thank you very much. Is there anybody else in Dillingham that wishes to testify?
No, there is not.
Is there anybody else in Seward that wishes to testify?
We're standing by right now.
All right. Is there anybody else in Kenai that wishes to testify?
Yes, we do have more to testify in Kenai. Do you have a current list, or would you like me to tell you who's going to testify?
Okay, I think I just have a list here. Is John Winsley there?
Yes, I am, sir.
Okay, John, are you prepared to testify?
Yes, I am.
Okay, go right ahead then.
The issue which I would like to address today is education. I am a resident of the city of Kenai. I have an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old, the 8-year-old being in third grade, 10-year-old being a fourth grader. And as I look down the road at the educational opportunities for my two children, as well as the other children in Kenai, there are a lot of programs that are being cut at the middle school level, at the high school level. There seem to be dollars for a lot of remedial work, but programs of academic excellence are being cut. And if by the time my kids reach a certain age, things aren't fixed, I just won't be educating my kids in Alaska. I'll be moving on. I was responsible this last summer, or this last year during the spring, in organizing a lot of the residents in Kenai in a postcard campaign, and over 2,000 postcards were sent to Juneau, to the representatives and the senators in Juneau from our district as well as other districts. And it just wasn't listened to. There was a few more dollars added to the LOGs, Learning Opportunity Grants, but there wasn't any additional funding to the foundation funding formula. It cost more to do business in 2003 than it did 15 years ago, the last time this was adequately addressed. If we get more money for the foundation funding formula, the question which always seems to come up is, where's that money going to come from? How are we going to pay for that? An awful lot of your constituents in the Kenai-Soldotna area have no problem with an income tax. They have no problem with giving up their permanent funds. Everybody wants the very best. And everybody is willing to pay for it. Let's get it done. Let's see it through. Let's do the best for education in the state of Alaska. I do appreciate your time. Let's get the job done.
John, thank you very much for your testimony this evening. I appreciate it. Next, I have Dave Knudsen. Dave, are you there?
Yes.
Dave, go ahead with your testimony, please.
I live in Kenai. We've lived here for 12 years. Our daughters have already graduated from the Kenai School District. But I agree with what Mr. Wensley says. It costs more to do business in 2003. So I'd like to see an increase in education statewide. Thank you.
Okay, Dave. Thank you. Appreciate it. Is Joel Ribbons there?
I'm here. I'm an eighth grader at the Chisky Middle High School. I'm very concerned about the proposed budget cuts to education. Everyone at my school is against it. I haven't talked to one person who is for it. Because of the cuts which are happening in education, my school will need to cut the honors courses, which I need for college. Welding and the welding and metals program will be eliminated. And the fine arts program is being drastically cut. I plan on attending college. In order to do so, I must be well prepared academically. Please don't take away my opportunity for success.
Joel, thank you for coming out this evening. What grade are you in, Joel?
Eighth grade.
You're in eighth grade? Very good. I'm glad you're taking an interest in public service. That's good. That's the public process. That's great. Appreciate you coming out. Is there anybody else in Kenai that wishes to testify?
No, we have no more testifiers in Kenai.
All right. Is there anybody else in Dillingham that wishes to testify? Is there anybody else in Seward that wishes to testify?
No, there's not right now.
Is there anybody alive in Cordova? Cordova, are you there? Cordova. There's no Cordova. There's nobody else signed up to testify in Kenai. There's nobody else signed up to testify in Dillingham. And there's nobody else signed up to testify in Seward. We're going to take about a 5-minute recess and see if anybody else comes in. And if they don't come in, they are supposed to sign up half hour before to testify. And if they aren't here by 8 o'clock, we're not going to be here. So let's take a short 5-minute recess, and we'll address the situation at that point. Back on the air with the Kenai LIO. Oh, yeah. Representing Chenault, do you want to talk to your friends in Kenai tonight?
They're going to tell me all we need to know.
Everything you want to know, okay.
And I am relying on the messages.
Who in the world is down in Kenai tonight that wants to talk to us?
This is Jenny Espenshade.
Okay, Jenny. Is it Jenny?
Yes.
And can you spell your last name, please?
You bet. E-S-P as in Peter, E-N-S-H-A, D as in David, E.
Okay. Jenny, proceed, please, with your testimony.
Thank you. I'm testifying as a parent. I have a student at Homer High School and another at Homer Middle. Actually, I'm in Kenai today working. I'm the director of the youth court. My husband's at a ninth grade parent meeting in Homer right now, trying to understand why neither one of my daughters can take Spanish anymore. My 10th grade daughter has had 2 years of this language, and it will not be offered to her next year. My 8th grade daughter has one choice for a language, due directly to this body's approach to education funding. This is an outrage. These cuts are deeper than the bone. They're cutting to the quality of the education that's offered our students statewide, and most importantly on the peninsula, where the cost differential is just totally inequitable to our students and our staff. So I urge you to look at that. I urge you to think about, we're not talking about extras here. We're talking about the academic quality that we are offering our students. And if you have an answer for me to tell my 8th grade daughter why she has to take a language she's not interested in taking, and she can't take the language that is spoken by the largest growing population segment of our country, I'd like to hear that answer. And if you have an answer for my 10th grade daughter, who has already put in 2 years in Spanish, and she's interested in being an exchange student, we're hosting an exchange student next year in our own home, I'd like to hear your answer, because I don't have an answer for these kids. Thank you.
Jenny, thank you very much for coming out this evening. What foreign language is offered in Homer?
We've been told that only French will be offered as of next school year.
Only French?
That's correct.
I see. Okay. Is there any reason why the school district's offering French and not Spanish?
This is Donna Peterson. I can answer that question if you'd like me to.
Sure.
Right now, as we're trying to define what is a basic education, we have to go back to what's required in the graduation requirements in the state statute. That includes nothing in foreign language, so that we're even able to offer a foreign language at all is where we've had to go when we start making drastic cuts to the bone, as Jenny talks about. Each community, through their site council process, and it sounds like they're having an additional community meeting tonight in Homer, is determining which one language they will offer. And some of that has to do, as you well know, with the laws regarding tenured teachers and who's available to teach what. So that's part of the issue, but each community is deciding which one foreign language. And right now we're pretty thrilled to even be keeping one foreign language in the high schools, and that's just wrong.
Okay, thank you very much.
And if I could add to that, my understanding is that that is the situation, and to ask a school to decide is like asking a person which hand you want us to cut off, your right or your left hand. It's unacceptable, and yeah, those choices are being forced by the inadequate funding.
Okay, very good. Is Nora Ribbons there?
Yes.
Nora, please proceed with your testimony.
Hello, representatives, and I appreciate this opportunity to talk to you. I've never done this before, so this is a big thing for me. I am the mother of three children. I have one in each elementary, middle, and high school in Nikiski. Two of my kids are in the Quest program, while the other is in the top 10% of her graduating class. I am outraged at the idea that more and more academic opportunities for my kids and all the kids on the peninsula are being cut again. I truly believe we need to have a valuable, well-rounded educational program to help develop good citizens. It takes more than basic core classes to develop people's awareness of our world and how to get along in society and with each other. Please give us the money we need to make education valuable and not just a bare minimum. The cost of education has increased, and we need at least $4,800 to provide a proper and good education. Please seriously consider reworking the foundation formula to adequately supply the needs of our Kenai School District. These are the kids who will be in charge of our nation in the future. Please don't jeopardize them just because the money is not there. We need to make the money be there for our kids. Thank you.
Nora, are you the mother of Joel?
Yes.
I want to tell you, he did a very nice job this evening testifying on behalf of himself and the students and the youth court and whatever. You should be proud of it as a parent.
Thank you very much. I am very proud of you.
Thank you. Okay, is there anybody else in Kenai that wishes to testify?
Mr. Chair, we have no more testifiers in Kenai at this point.
All right. Did we, by any chance, have anybody come forward from Dillingham? Did we have anybody come forward from Seward?
No one here, Chairman Harris.
Thank you. Did anybody come forward this evening in Cordova? Cordova might be dead.
They're not on.
Okay. All right. With the approval of the other members of the committee here, if we don't have any more, Kenai, do you anticipate the possibility of anybody else showing up there this evening?
No, Mr. Chair, we don't.
Okay. I think with that, then, we are going to sign off this evening. We're scheduled to go to 8:30, but I think we probably have taken everybody who really wants to come and testify this evening, or at least who made the effort to get out this evening, for whatever reason, did not. And so I think we are going to adjourn this meeting tonight. We will again appear tomorrow at 1:30 for public testimony from Wrangell, Sitka, Petersburg, and Homer. And with that, thank you all this evening for taking time out of your schedules to come and talk to us about your concerns about government. And with that, we are adjourned.